Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good morning at 6 o'clock. The morning show with Boomer and Craig Giannotti in for the week. Al Dukes, Eddie Scazzeri, Jerry Recco, Bob Dwyer. Good morning, Boomer. What's happening with you?
Well, that's how you're going to open it. That's it? Okay,
what?
Good morning. I'm doing great.
Well, I just want to know how you're doing.
Everything's fantastic. I'm doing great. It's wonderful. And, you know, Aaron Judge hits two home runs yesterday. He's now at 50, passes Mark McGwire. The Yankees are flying high. I mean, they're getting ready for a home playoff game, most likely against the Twins. The story just never ends with this kid.
No.
It just never ends with him. And it's really, honestly, with everything that's going on in sports these days, with the trade of Melo, the Trump bashing with the NFL players, and the players reacting to the president and all that other stuff, this is really, truly one of the great stories of the sports season in 2017 and what he has done.
Without a doubt, I think he should be the AL MVP. I think that even though he had that lull there for a while in July and August, that this guy's the MVP. It's going to come down to him or Altuve. But Aaron Judge is the MVP of the American League. It's a foregone conclusion that he's going to win the Rookie of the Year. He's also going to win the MVP. That's the good story this morning.
Well, I don't know about that. I mean, do you have a vote for the MVP?
I don't have a vote for the MVP.
I believe I'm with you. I think that because of the amount of home runs, his on-base percentage, his average, the amount of walks he has had, the way that he plays right field, everything that goes into this 5-tool player, tells me all I need to know about the story of the year in Major League Baseball. While the Indians are a great story and their hitting streak, the Dodgers are a great story and the way that they got out to such a lead in the West, the way that the Astros have bounced back, the Cubs are back in the mix and everything else, the big overarching story to me was the emergence of Aaron Judge and the moonshots that he has hit and the fascination that we all have with home runs. And now he's one of those guys, and if you remember back in the days when they were doing the home run chase between Sammy Sosa, Mark McGwire, and Barry Bonds, you had to watch those guys. And you know, remember ESPN would stop whatever they were doing, and they would show you a highlight or show you in real time, those guys at bat. Well, welcome to that particular world, Aaron Judge. And he's doing it, in all accounts, without PEDs. Probably doing it with a harder bat than most guys because the bats have changed definitely over the years. And it's amazing what he's doing. And it's fun to watch. I'm not a Yankee fan, but I do appreciate a humble approach to things. Somebody who wears his uniform with pride and somebody that the fan base of a team can get behind and really, really like. And that's who exactly Aaron Judge is right now.
I'm not usually a big fan of the ho-hum, don't look at me, I'm embarrassed by the success guy, because I like the confidence in someone that doesn't take it over the top like Odell Beckham Jr., and we'll spend plenty of time on him. But Aaron Judge, I feel like he's genuine when he said that he didn't want to come out for a curtain call for that 50th home run yesterday. He did not want to do it. He was embarrassed by it. He said that he wanted to be with his teammates in the dugout because there was still game to play, and he was focused on that, not on the individual stuff. And I actually believe him. And to have that rarity in sports these days, where a guy's actually embarrassed when people are clapping and cheering for him because of an individual accomplishment, I mean, that's a rare thing in sports today.
I agree with you 100%. He is a pleasant story in the world of everything else that's going on in sports. He is just absolutely a great story. And you know, again, if you are a Yankee fan, how proud of you are you of him, I should say, and the way that he carries himself, the way that he carries the uniform. And this is like, you know, and you juxtapose that against, you know, maybe somebody who considers himself the best player in the NFL and wants to be the highest paid player in the NFL wearing a New York Giant uniform on all fours, lifting his leg, imitating a urinating dog. on a field marking a spot.
Right, and then changing his story yesterday to fit a particular narrative that's in the NFL. So someone on CNN suggests that maybe he did this because of the SOB comments and the bitch word being a female dog, and then he would be the son of the female dog. So he's a dog, so he gets on all fours, and then he lifts his leg. And then Odell Beckham Jr. tweets out, "Oh, you're very smart. I figured that out." I don't believe for 1 second that's what this was about. It just sounded good to him, so he decided to do it that way. And even almost as disappointing as Odell Beckham Jr.'s explanation or new explanation for this is Ben McAdoo not even trying to muster up an explanation for his star player. This is a guy who had no problem with Eli Manning and, I don't want to say trashing him, but calling him out in that press conference and saying sloppy quarterback play. A guy who's won 2 championships, has done everything right. And then this star wide receiver who consistently embarrasses the organization, is totally out of control, and he stands up there in front of the media and goes, "We should be talking about his touchdowns as opposed to this." Well, no, you guys are 0-3. You've lost control of this guy who will never regain control, in my opinion, and you're going to stand up there and say we should be talking about his touchdowns? No way. At 0-3, you don't tell everybody what to talk about.
You know what? I'll always say this in that regard, and I can understand why you would be frustrated as a fan and somebody sitting on the outside. I think every coach handles every player different. So when you have a 36-year-old Eli Manning, you know the personality, you know the relationship, and you know if I can call you out in the public, it's going to help our team. And I know that you have the personality and the professionalism to handle it, much like Eli Manning did come on with Mike the next day and basically say, because I can handle it. If we're not scoring points, I know I'm going to be the subject of criticism, and I'm paraphrasing here, but you get it. He was a professional about it. This kid is a complete bizarro lunatic, and you know I am sure and I am certain 1,000 times over that they have spoken to him over and over and over and over again about his antics on the field, whether it be getting involved with Josh Norman, whether it be trying to marry the kicking net, whether it be, you know, the pregame, you know, hijinks and before making all the one-handed catches and all. I'm sure that they have spoken to him, and I guarantee you that they sat him down again in response to this. And not only would you do it because of what it looked like and how embarrassing that is to this storied franchise, the New York Giants, and how beautiful their uniforms are, and how, you know, above brow this team is, and how their long-term fans, you know, have such pride in the way that they carry themselves, okay? I'm sure that they brought him in again and said, "Look, not only are you an embarrassment on the field and costing us yards and committing penalties, but your comments after the game about how you would do it again without regard for a penalty, because there are some consequences that you will have to deal with amongst your actions." I'm telling you, this guy, we are living in like a cycle world, and he should be getting some serious help somewhere along the line. Or I suggest that the New York Giants reach out to who I think is the epitome of an unbelievable professional, somebody who carries himself with dignity every time he steps on the field, somebody who every NFL fan admires no matter what team this particular player plays on. And when you watch him play and you watch him after the game and you watch him how he carries himself away from the field, I couldn't tell any player in the NFL more strongly that they should try to emulate this one player. Do you know who that player is that I'm talking about?
Well, they have a guy in Eli Manning on that team.
You have a guy in Eli Manning, but I'm not even talking about it. I'm talking about a guy who's been in the league a long time. A guy who I would tell
still
you...
Still playing?
He's still playing, and I would tell you he is the most popular player in the league in terms of likability when it comes to other fan bases for the teams that he plays against and he doesn't play for.
Tell me who it is.
And he played last night. And he had an unbelievable
Jason
game.
Witten.
No, and he had an unbelievable game last night.
Carson Palmer.
No.
Just tell me who it is.
Larry Fitzgerald.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, that guy is unbelievable.
Larry Fitzgerald is by far the most likable player in the league. He plays the same position as Odell Beckham Jr. He is going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer. I've worked with him on Westwood One around the Super Bowl the last few years, and I've got to know him over the years. What he stands for, the way he carries himself, the way his fan base loves him in Arizona, and the money he's made. He's made right. A lot of money. He was one of the guys that really made a lot of money. And the way that he gets himself back into this community, he's got a great charity foundation out there in Arizona doing a million things. That's who Odell Beckham Jr. should try to emulate. That's
sure.
the guy. Because
can't argue that. But he doesn't want to be that guy, Odell Beckham Jr. This is a problem. He does not want to be the guy who does everything right, who hands the ball back to the ref. He wants to be the guy that makes it about him, that everybody's talking about his dancing, and everybody's talking about him off the field. And if Ben McAdoo has had these conversations with Odell Beckham Jr., right. then tell us he has.
This is what I want to see when I'm a Giant fan.
No, it's terrible.
That's what I want to see. I want to see that. I want to see the Giant uniform.
It's disgusting.
On a football field doing this and then coming back the next day and trying to tell me that he's peeing on the president and all of his comments. You know what? I'm sorry. It's
a terrible compute. Look, but who is he going to listen to if the Giants?
I'll tell you what. I don't mean to keep interrupting you. I'm just telling you, his Klingon friends and his hanger-ons and his agent and everybody else, they tell him what a great guy he is and how wonderful a player he is and how you should be the highest paid player because people come to see you. That's what he's being told.
Right. Well, he's not wrong about him being an electric player that people want to see. But the problem is he's got no self-awareness when it comes to his image at all. And I really do believe, and this is not hyperbole, I really do believe that he has a tough time controlling himself. That a lot of this stuff is calculated, but also a lot of it is just him not being able to control his emotions in certain situations. Now, maybe he listens to Larry Fitzgerald, but why would Larry Fitzgerald, of all people, want to talk to a guy that is the direct opposite of him on a team in the NFC? I mean, maybe...
Don't even talk to him. Just emulate him. Just watch how he carries himself. Watch what he does. Watch how he is a pillar in his community and makes a difference in the lives of so many other people in the right way. You know, the thing about it is that Odell Beckham Jr. is beloved by so many kids. And I'm sure he realizes that. I'm sure he realizes the significance of that and what that means. So I would imagine that all those kids that are either playing flag football or getting ready to go out on their practice fields this afternoon that are, you know, in Pop Warner football or maybe the downtown Giants, when they score a touchdown, they're going to get on all fours and lift up their leg.
Of course.
It's exactly what you want. It's like, does anybody even care anymore? Does anybody care about the common decency anymore?
No, I think that they do.
Just who gives a crap?
No, no.
You know, he's entertaining.
No. I think that they do. I think that people, when they see certain dance celebrations, it's funny when they see that, they're turned off by it. And now the conversation has started. I know that Gary Myers wrote about it in the Daily News. The conversation has started. You know, will the Giants and everything that they're about in this organization want to give this guy $100 million to be the face of their franchise? And at this point, as ridiculous as his behavior is, I still don't know how you don't. Because...
You know why I would not give him a guarantee of any sort of significant money. I wouldn't do it because he is without question one of the most unstable athletes I've ever seen. I've never seen anything like it. I mean, I know he works hard in practice. I know he's gifted. I get all that. And I could probably play with a personality like that as long as I was keep feeding him the ball. He'd probably be very happy.
Yeah.
And then I would deal with all the other minutiae that comes along with it because he is so gifted. I mean, like I told you the other day, we're sitting there on Sunday and we watch his first TD catch. Place explodes. CBS studios were over there watching all the games. Place explodes. All the Giant fans, oh my God, what a catch. Did you see that? I mean, everybody's just amazed by it. And then within about 5 seconds, all of that cheer, all of that happiness, all of that euphoria that was all directed right at Odell Beckham Jr. completely turned sour and said, what the F is he doing?
Yeah, I think a lot of that conversation changes, though, if the Giants hold on and win that game. If they come back and they win that game, this is a little bit more of a footnote than it is at 0-3.
I'm sorry.
Because two touchdowns, you lead a comeback. People are still not going to like it. They're not going to be like, yeah, I'm so happy that you did the urination thing. But I still think that he's got to calm down. But boy, is he good.
I tell you right now, the back page of the Post has it perfectly. Pea brain.
Yeah, well.
I want to sit here and I want to talk about great plays, great players, and I want to talk about the Larry Fitzgeralds of the world and how Dak Prescott got his team back in the win column last night and showed a lot of toughness in his second year after having a very difficult first half, playing great in the second half. Talk about the Washington Redskins and how all of a sudden they've jumped out of everybody's you know, doghouse into the penthouse, and everybody's thinking now they have a legitimate chance.
Right.
How great the Jets played, and there's an article that was written last night about all these great moves that Mike Maccagnan all of a sudden is making because
it's one week.
Yeah, but the team is, you know, young and it's vibrant and it's right. aggressive, and they kick the crap out of the Dolphins. Now all of a sudden those articles are coming. I love talking about that.
Yeah.
I hate talking about pregame protests. I hate talking about president's rhetoric, inflammatory rhetoric. I don't want to hear from any more coaches or players, you know, pontificating to me about what's wrong with America. I'm sick of that. I want to talk about great players. I want to talk about Aaron Judge. I want to talk about them going to the playoffs. I want to talk about Enos Kanter, who loves being a Knick, that he actually punched himself in the face because he loves being a Knick.
I think that
I
was
want
lost
to punch
in
him in the face because I love that he loves being a Knick.
Well, do you think he got lost in translation? He wanted to pinch himself and not punch himself?
I love the fact that he says he's going to punch himself because you know how many times I've said this, and Al, you've heard this, Al. Tell me, how many times did I say over the last 6 or 7 weeks that a Yankee fan should punch themselves in the face for ridiculing Headley, ridiculing Gregorius when he first got here, ridiculing Judge after he was going through that horrendous slump and how they got to, you know, sit him down and all that stuff?
You're a big punch yourself in the face guy.
Yeah,
definitely.
Exactly. That's what I'm telling you.
That's why you love Enos.
Yeah. Is it Enos or is it Ennis? Do we know about this?
What
it's
got to
be
about?
Ennis.
It's Enos, the newest Knick. Terrific.
What's your favorite thing about Enos?
That he's punching himself in the face.
We got to love that, right?
You got to love it. He's excited to be here. Everybody else hates coming here. He loves it here.
I remember when Jay Cutler signed with the Dolphins and Eddie punched himself in the face.
It's big enough. Another
Enos. And then you watched the performance this past week and you punched yourself in the face again didn't you?
Yes.
Two different reasons.
Well, I just so you know, Jay Cutler doesn't give a crap what you think. Doesn't give a crap what anybody thinks.
I think he does. I think he plays it off and he does.
You do?
I think he does, man.
Why do they call him still like they go, oh, former Fox broadcaster? He didn't do one game, did he?
And he didn't even practice for one game. He didn't, you know, he didn't even like, this is the way he is.
Right.
I'm just going to show up and do the game. I got this. Don't worry about it.
Wow. Romo's getting great reviews, huh?
Not from Brent Musburger. He's not.
Well, Brent Musburger.
Brent Musburger is one of the great broadcasters.
But Brent Musburger's out in Vegas betting on everything,
so
right? He doesn't
cares,
care about sports.
But you know what? He gave you a legitimate, honest opinion.
Yeah, I think that Tony does an unbelievable job of pointing out stuff that fans have no idea, would never see otherwise.
I like what he did this past week with Andy Dalton. He said, look, you missed this wide open guy. Just hit the guy. Just what's so hard about hitting that guy?
He's just very excitable.
So who?
Tony.
Because it's his first. He's got to learn just to calm down a little bit.
Jim, it's a fumble. It's a fumble, Jim.
And he doesn't hate Nance yet, but that'll come.
It appears to be, Tony, a fumble. It's a fumble. Somebody's got to get it. Ball's loose, man. This is awesome. You see that? They had the ball. Now the other team has the ball. This is great. It's a 3rd and 8, Tony. So fumble was recovered, and we'll play this down.
He'll learn. Don't worry about it. You know,
no,
this is called growing pains.
No, I don't. I think he's really good. I enjoy watching him. And that excitement seems genuine with him too. It's not forced. So
no,
you like to see that.
I think he still fancies himself, as most of us did when we first leave the game, that we could still play, that we should still be out there. And we see the game from a completely different viewpoint than when we were on the field. And because you're a broadcaster or a fan, it looks easier than it really is.
Yeah.
And he's acting that way, which is kind of funny, actually.
How about these idiots that are complaining that he's saying what's going to happen before it happens? Like, I don't want any spoilers in my NFL games. I mean, this isn't like Game of Thrones where he tells you the ending. He's just telling you, I think that this route's going to be run. He doesn't know that there's going to be a touchdown.
In most TV broadcasts, I'm just telling you, the analyst would never have the opportunity to do that.
Right.
Because the play-by-play guy is so like panicky and so controlling of their space that I'm not saying Jim, but I'm just saying in general, because they want to get in and out of the spot. They want to be able to do what they do, set up the play. So Jim's working with a rookie. It's like a quarterback working with a rookie wide receiver.
Yeah.
You know, you're supposed to turn left and the guy turns right.
Yeah.
What do you do?
Well,
you got to learn. He's got to roll with the play. And Tony will learn, but you're right. The one thing I do like about him is that he is excited.
Yeah, right.
He is definitely excited.
He grunts after plays. You know, Jim, oh, and look at that catch by the sideline. Oh! You hear that in the background. It's like, whoa, man, he's really fired up.
True, exactly. I get it, yes. You're right.
I feel like Beningo here. Do we have a read? Do we not have a read? Do
no
we have a read?
This time.
No read. Okay.
Okay, Picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.